Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. How did you react when you found the truth? Let's look at a parable Jesus gives here. And there's a hidden message in it. And allegorically, I'm going to lift out this parable and look in it and speak to it allegorically, and we can apply it to ourselves. In Luke chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.'" So she found something that was precious to her, that was lost. She was rejoicing over that coin. Verse 10, Jesus says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And we'll be focusing on this passage. This will be our key passage for today's message. Luke chapter 15, verse 8 to 10. The parable of the lost coin. And we can, as we go through it, I hope that you can apply it to yourself. I can apply it to myself. And see what is, if not lost, what may be tarnished or blemished within you. The parable of the lost coin. Now, there are many opinions on what the 10 coins could be. Some may liken it to the lost tribes. But you know what? Let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. The lost coin. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The woman, read about a while ago, or what woman having 10 silver coins? Who is that woman? Here in the word, this woman is presented here in Ephesians chapter 25. This woman is presented here as the church, and Christ so loved her that he gave himself for her. The woman, the bride of Christ, the church, the woman, you are a member of God's body. You are that woman, Christ's future bride. Christ spoke in parables, and the word of God is the key to unlock this parable. Sometimes parables is perplexing to those who has no love for the truth. But we have a love for the truth. And we can use the light of God's word to find out what Christ wants to say to us. What is that lost coin? Have you lost the coin? What are those 10 silver coins that the woman had? Over here in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in fire,
tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So we see silver is equated to the Word of God. Silver is equated to the Word of God. Over here, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone." That word there, Ten Commandments, that comes from Strong's H1697. The Greek word is, transliteration is dabar. And it means word. It means thing. In order of importance, it means speech. It means a saying, an utterance. Or see word or words. So, by implication, those 10 coins could be looked at as the 10 words. And when you take it a step further, those 10 words are God's commandments. You can look at it that way. That's the 10 coins are the 10 commandments. So let's look at Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 again, and let's read it back again. "The words," commandments if you will, "of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Now back to the parable. Our main message of today. Our main passage of today, Luke chapter 15, verse 8. You can put a marker there because we will be turning back to it several times and flushing it out. "Or what woman?" And we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, that woman, the bride of Christ. You, the woman, having 10 silver coins. The 10 commandments. If she loses one coin, if she loses one coin, and what commandment could that be? "Does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." The coin. What was that coin, that major coin, that could have been lost or compromised? You know, when you look across the realm of the Christian landscape, all of Christianity observe for the most part 9 of the commandments, but there is one that most ignores or believe is not important or believe is optional. That fourth one. That fourth coin, if you will. And it speaks of it in Exodus chapter 20. Let's turn there. Exodus chapter 20. We'll come to verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And God speaking says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it." And so, on the surface, one might say, well, the particular coin that was lost was the fourth coin. the fourth commandment was, through history, became just unimportant. And you may be thinking, well, I haven't lost any of my coins. I have all my coins. But is your coin blemished? Is it tarnished? Is there something in your life? Is there something in your character that perhaps you're falling down on? Is there something in your walk with God that could be improved upon? After all, we're all human beings. We're all in the flesh. None of us are perfect. And it's hard for us to see the flaws in ourselves. For example, there was a man who came to Jesus, and it was hard for him to see the flaws in himself. He believed that he had it all. He was okay, that his walk was on good footing, that his walk was on solid ground. Over here in Matthew chapter 19, come with me. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And Jesus, speaking to the rich young ruler here. Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler. He says, "Now behold, one came, said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. But if you want to enter into life,'" notice what Jesus tells him and how important it is, "'keep the commandments.'" Keep the commandments. Then he goes on to ask Jesus. He says to him, "Which ones?" Jesus says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father or your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then the young man said to him, he thought he was good. He thought he was all right. "My walk is on solid footing. All of these things I've kept from my youth. I haven't stealed. I haven't murdered. I honored my father, my mother. I loved my neighbor. So I can enter into life, right?" This is what Jesus says. And the young man says, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Now, by many person's standards, this was a fine, decent young man. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect." So here we are. You may say to yourself, "Well, I don't steal. I don't murder. I honor my father and my mother. I love my neighbor." Jesus said to the young man, "But if you want to be perfect, so let the word speak to you. Let the word speak to me. Let the word say to you, if you want to be perfect, take that deep look inside yourself. Be that woman who sweeps the house. Because you're the house. You're the woman. What imperfection is within you? Yes, we tithe. Yes, we keep Sabbath. Yes, we do holy days. But so did the rich young ruler. But Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect." The rich young ruler was comfortable with where he was at in his walk. He thought he was okay. But from Jesus' point of view, he saw something that could be improved upon. Is there something in me that could be improved upon? Is there something in you that could be improved upon? Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Jesus saw what was hindering his walk with God. He had such a close affinity to his possessions. What might it be with me? Is it that I have an unforgiving heart? What might it be with you? Is it that you can't help but gossip about someone? What is it? Is it that perhaps you've been hurt so long ago and you cannot get over it? Is it that perhaps you took offense with someone and you cannot reconcile with that person? What is hindering your walk from becoming perfect with God? Yes, we may keep Sabbath. Yes, we may tithe. Yes, we may say, well, just like the rich young ruler, well, I do all of these things. I don't eat unclean biblical foods. I don't observe a Sunday. I don't covet. What is it within you? Can you sweep your house just like the woman swept her house? And how would you react when you find that blemish? Will you be able to rejoice just like this woman rejoiced? Listen, verse 23 here. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He was sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. He did Sabbath. He followed the commandments and so forth. And this would seem like, by most standards, a good young person. Decent person. One to be admired. But as far as God was concerned, he had something that was more important to him than God. What could it be for me? Could it be maybe my time or a show? If you want to be perfect, let Jesus speak to you. If you want to be perfect, what is it that you must do? Back to the parable again. Luke chapter 15 verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, what is that coin for you? For most of mainstream Christianity, that coin was Sabbath. But what is that coin for you? That coin could be something else for you. And if you say you haven't lost any coins, like the rich young man, all these things I have done from my youth, who thought his walk was okay. Perhaps your coin is somewhat blemished. There is a streak of imperfection somewhere in your house that you are unaware of. Jesus said to man, if you want to be perfect, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The lamp. What can we say about the lamp? Over here in Psalm chapter 119. Let's see what God's word says about the lamp. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 119. Let's come to verse 105. And we'll go line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let the word of God speak. The word, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Over here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, sheds a little light. For the commandment is a lamp, Proverbs 6, verse 23, and the law a light. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life. So, the woman takes the word of God, uses the word of God to sweep her house. So how often do you use God's word to sweep your house, to clean yourself out, to find your imperfections? Sweep the house. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Notice what it says. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? When you sweep, or picture yourself in an army or in the military, and you're given a command to sweep the area. That means you look around every corner. You leave no rock unturned. You look high and low so that you can find what it is you're looking for. Sweep it to refine that precious truth. And so you were supposed to use the lamp, this word of God, and sweep our vessels to see what blemishes and imperfections might fall from us. We're supposed to use the word, the light of God, to examine ourselves and see where our walk is with God. Can it stand the heat of fire? Can it stand the test of hard trials? What could be my blemished coin? It might be I have the inability to go, or do not have the desire to go that second mile for my brother and sister. Oh, that's such a burden. It's like you're asking me to do a mountain for you. You know what? I'll pray for you about it. Go away and just try and tackle it yourself, and I'm sure God will open up a way for you. What is your imperfection? What is my imperfection? Maybe it's a tendency to not being able to esteem someone above yourself, or the inability to not being able to turn that other cheek. What is it? If you will be perfect, I cannot tell, but you can tell by using the lamp to sweep your house, to sweep your vessel. Remember, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, if you will be perfect. So, let God's word speak to you today. If you will be perfect. Notice here in James chapter 2 verse 14 what he says. James chapter 2 verse 14, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So, where is the love in that? Whatever it might be, we are to take the lamp of God, use it as the light to search out our dark corners, to search out the dark corners of myself and yourself. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to let our light shine. And your light can't shine if someone sees that your vessel has a little bit of rust or is blemished. Your light cannot shine if you've outright lost a coin completely. What could that coin be for you? Could it be that? Or what could that lost coin or blemished coin be for me? Could it be that I do not have that first love as I once did? Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. So you're supposed to shine bright. You're supposed to sparkle. You're not supposed to be blemished. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then Jesus goes on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So I say again, is your coin lost? Or is your coin blemished? You may not have lost the fourth coin, but there may be something in you that the safer man wants to point out, as he did to the rich wrong you ruler. If you want to be perfect, what is it? What is it? It's easy for us to say, well, you know, I keep Sabbath. I follow the commandments. I tithe. I don't eat clean and unclean meats. But notice, over here in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaking to the woman, or a woman. And he points some things out about this woman. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And this particular woman thought she was rich. She thought she was okay. This particular woman thought she didn't have any lost coins. This particular woman thought she didn't have any blemishes. But what did Jesus see? And what did he have to say? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Verse 15, I know your works. So you see, God knows my works. God knows your works. Just like he knew the works of the rich long ruler. When the rich young ruler said, all these things I have done, which else, what do I lack? Well, if you want to be perfect, this is coming from a man who says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. She thought she was okay. She thought her standing with God, this woman, was on solid ground. She thought she was on the right track. She thought she couldn't be corrected. I'm doing what is required of me. I'm a model example. Verse 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and in need of nothing, and notice, this woman failed to use the lamp and sweep the house. Notice what Jesus finds. Notice what the embodiment of the word finds. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and of need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich. So he encourages us to truly find that treasure, those coins, gold refined in fire, that you truly can become rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eye with salve, that you may see. Again, over here, a few verses up in the same chapter. First one, Jesus speaks to another woman. And he has some things to point out about this woman. These things, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You see, Jesus knows his body. Jesus knows all parts of his body. Jesus knows me, and he knows you better than we know ourselves. Jesus knows your heart. He knows my heart better than we know our own hearts. Just like he knew the hearts of the rich young ruler. He didn't know he had a fault until Jesus had to point it out to him. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Harsh words. to think that your walk is alive, that your walk is in good standing, only to be told that, you know what, your walk is worthless. It's useless. It's dead. It's hard to accept such correction. Have you lost your coin? Don't be so quick to say no. Is your coin blemished? Jesus says to the woman here, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Notice, for I have not found your works perfect before God. If you will be perfect, what do you think Jesus will say to you? If I will be perfect, what would Jesus see in me? Remember, verse 3, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And here is where we want to be. We want our garments to be white. We don't want them to be wrinkled or blemished. That we can walk with God. That we can be found worthy to walk with God. It is possible. It is possible to so correct our flaws, to root out that imperfection that lies within us and solidify our walk with God. We just have to let the Word speak to us and let the Word clean us out. Just like Jesus Christ gave the admonition to the rich young ruler, if you will be perfect, sell everything you have. So, we must let the Word speak to us and let Jesus speak to us. If I will be perfect, so that my garments can be white, can be found white, so that I may be worthy. I want to be in that company. Back to the parable again. Luke 15 verse 8. A what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Let's look at verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, when I first found out about this truth, I was so exhilarated and excited. I couldn't help share it with some of my friends. Just truths that just blow my mind. One of them was heaven and hell, and what happens, the truth about what happens after dead, after you're dead, everyone believes you go to hell. That was just fantastic to me. I couldn't contain myself. I had to just share it. And then when I found out about the commandments, like they're more real and vibrant and living than the law of gravity, I was so zealous. I was just so excited. You know, this is when I was starting to first find out about the truths of God. There was that excitement. It was just so wondrous and so precious. And so here we have the woman. She's rejoicing when she founds that lost coin, that lost treasure. Because that coin, those words of God, is like treasure. They're like pure, more precious than pure silver. More precious than pure silver. Over here, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, now I'm in, and search for her as for hidden treasures, the word, what is it to you? How much does it mean to you? Would you suffer for it? Would you suffer inconvenience and loss for it? Do you rejoice that you have found this precious word of God? Verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The 10 coins. Have you ever wondered why 10 coins? Why not 8? 9? Why not 12? 12, a dozen. That's a very popular number. A dozen eggs, a dozen of this. Why 10? 10 is significant. 10 is a very significant number. 10 coins from Strong's we saw earlier, the 10 words, the 10 commandments. This woman was able to rejoice at finding a lost coin. Are you able to rejoice when something that is lost, or something that is at least blemished in you? Are you able to react with contentment and say, I didn't know that about me, thank you? Are you happy when the word of God corrects you? Do you say, thank you, Father, for correcting my path? Luke chapter 15, verse 9 again. And when she has found it, the woman, she calls her friends and neighbors together and saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. I must share this. The morning I went first to deliver this message to Burlington, I had my sister Vanetta with me, and she was, you know, I wasn't sure if just the message that, I didn't say that to her, but I wasn't sure if, you know, this was the message that I was to deliver that morning. And I picked her up, and she was sharing with me, you know, since God has called me to this way, to this life, I tell you, I am so happy. I am so content. Her words, there is nothing better than this life. I wouldn't give up anything for it. It is so precious to me. And I tell you, that was like fuel to me. It just so emboldened me and strengthened me and gave me confirmation that this is the word that God has laid upon my heart today. And just to see her resonate that joy and that happiness of God calling her into this way, the truth, it just made me know, yes, someone who is so happy of finding this way of God. Are you happy that God has opened up your minds to such wondrous truth that is lost to the vast majority of mankind? Such amazing, amazing truth that can comfort you in the trial of your burdens, that can comfort you in the deaths of loved ones. When the heart is right, with the right attitude, one is elated and happy to be corrected by God. One is relieved that God has brought you to see your flaw or my blemish within me. Some blemishes left to fetter can grow. So much so it could even lead to death, spiritual death. Most of us, certainly I was once lost, but God has brought me back. God has brought me back. So now I can say the words of that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. This truth that God has called me to, I feel such a sense of contentment now. Before I was like, what's life about? Why struggle? Why do some people lie and cheat and get ahead in life, and some does right, obey the rules, and they have life hard and have nothing? And I wasn't happy with life. Why was that? What's it all about? Then it led me to ask myself, well, why am I here anyways? If we all die in the end, why should I obey rules if all that's left, we both go in the grave? And if that's it, all like that, well, why shouldn't I do what I have to do to succeed? Why shouldn't I be able to tell a white lie and whatever it is? If all that's it, we both die in the end. And so, this truth, I found this God has opened me to this truth, and it gave me such contentment. It gave me the answers about why we are here. Why God created you. Why God created me. The ultimate destiny that awaits you, to be born into the family of God. It's amazing to be born. Have you ever think about that? Even Lucifer wasn't given such an honor as God wants to bestow upon us. As majestic and as beautiful and as powerful and as wondrous as that some of God's perfection, His beauty was, we are supposed to eclipse that. That's just mind-boggling, staggering. How important is the Word to you, the truth to you? You know, when you love something, you will suffer for it. You will give up things for it. We can use the light of God's Word to apply it to ourselves, to buff ourselves up, so to speak, to let ourselves shine. So none of our coins becomes blemished, and none certainly becomes lost. The psalmist David had the right attitude. He had some major blemishes. David, he had some big imperfections. He committed adultery and had a man murdered. Some, what we call some serious blemishes. But he had a love for God's Word. And he allowed the Word. He used the lamp to clean his house. In Psalm 51 verse 10, look what the psalmist says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So he had a heart for God. He had a love for God's Word. Yes, he had some blemishes, some big ones, but he allowed God to correct him. He allowed the Word to clean out his imperfections. In Psalm chapter 119, let's go to God's Word. We're speaking about His Word. Psalm chapter 119, let's come to verse 33. Notice the attitude of this psalmist. The attitude, that the conviction that we want to have, that we want to emulate. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. To the end. Through thick or thin. Through the deepest valley. Over the highest mountain. Through the hottest fire. Through the fiercest battle. To the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart, your entire being, your soul, your essence, your mind. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. It is my joy, my happiness, my hobby. It's what I like to do, to think about your Word. Verse 36 says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your Word to your servant. So he wants this Word to flush him out, to clean him, to perfect him. If you want to be perfect, allow the Word to perfect you. As the psalmist here, what is allowing the Word to perfect him? Establish your Word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. He's thirsty for correction. He's thirsty for God's Word. Are you hungry for God's Word of righteousness? Revive me in your righteousness. And then again, let's come to verse 97 of the same chapter. 97, Psalm 119, verse 97. Let's look at the attitude of this psalmist. It's the attitude that we want to have. The attitude of a woman who can rejoice when she finds that lost coin. Oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. For I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. When we have this mindset describing these passages above towards God, we're most likely to keep our coins and not let them get blemished. And then we can truly appreciate what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the Shema, which says, "Hear, O Israel, for Lord our God, for Lord is one." And the word there should. When you think of one, what comes to mind? I am numero uno. I am number one. You think about being at the top. You think about being first. So in other words, "Hear, O Israel, for Lord our God, the Lord is first. The Lord is first." The rich young ruler wasn't able to put God first. He didn't know he had something before God. Jesus had to flush it out of him. The Word had to reveal it to him. Just like we need to use the Word and let it clean us out and reveal to us our imperfections, my imperfections. What is it that is lacking in my work that makes my work tarnished with God? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," or "the Lord is first. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." When we can come to the point where we can put God first, it's hard for you to lose your coin, or it's hard for your coin to remain blemished if at least one is blemished. When we come to that point then, that we can truly love God, it's easier for us to keep our coins. And how do we love God? Well, let's let the Word speak today. Let's let the Word speak today. How do we love God? 1 John chapter 2, let's come to verse 5 and see what the Word says. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." That's 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. How about this? In John chapter 14, let's come to verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Let's apply the parable on top of that. Let's say it this way. "If you love me, keep my coins." If you love me, keep my coins. What about 1 John chapter 5 verse 3? "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." We keep coins. "And his commandments," or his coins, "are not burdensome." God's coins are not heavy. You know, some people would tend to think, "I have to go to Sabbath this day. I don't really want to, but God commanded it, and it's such a drag. It's such a burden." God's commandments are not burdensome. They give us freedom. They're laws of liberty, the royal law. They're instructions of love, if you will. Back to the parable once again. "Or what woman?" John 15, verse 8. "The woman, you, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, God's word. Sweep the house. Your body, your mind, your soul, you, the house. And search carefully until she finds it. What is that imperfection? And when she has found it, if she calls her friends and neighbors together, rejoice, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. My friends, how precious is God's word to you? How precious is His coin? We want to sow not only not keep all our coins and let it shine. We want to be the embodiment of that coin. Notice here in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. And we know Jesus was that Word. And He is the embodiment of the standard of righteousness. God's law, His commandment. When we lose one of our coins, or at least that it becomes blemished, when our character becomes blemished or tarnished, or our walk becomes blemished or tarnished, it damages our walk with Christ. It damages our walk with Christ. So let me say, keep your coins. And in order to keep your coins, let's listen to the good master and let the parable speak to us. We use the lamp of God's word and sweep our house. And when we find something that is rusty or imperfection or something that is lost, let us rejoice that our relationship with God is mended again. It's so much more stronger. It's so much more tighter. My brethren, do not let your coin get lost. Certainly, do not let your coin be blemished. God bless you all.